This morning, for the time allotted before we come to the table, I want to call your attention to my text for this morning. You know that we are going through the fruit of the Spirit, and this the fruit we're looking at, not today, but next week, but the introduction we'll use today, because it actually coincides with the communion, is faithfulness. In the text that says the fruit of the Spirit is faith, literally it is faithfulness, the word that is used there, rather than faith, and it's not a wrong interpretation, but we'll explain that later on. But we want to look this morning at the faithfulness of God, or the God who is dependable. The God who is dependable. Will you take your Bibles, please, and for our scripture lesson, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on fresh grass, and the showers of the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the Rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness, without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Moses, who is writing here, is giving us, if you please, little Kodak shots of God. And he speaks about certain attributes of God. He suggests to us, for example, that God is great, that God is perfect, that God is righteous, that God is upright, and for our sakes this morning, that God is faithful. Faithfulness, as a part of our Christian experience, is so absolutely essential that if God were not a faithful God, we would have almost nothing to celebrate this morning. But because he is a faithful God, we have the privilege of being here this morning, and to reflect upon that faithfulness, I trust, will inspire and encourage and cause the enthusiasm of our spirits to rise to a high level, far higher than it has been for a long time. I want you to look this morning in the scriptures and to consider with me, first of all, the importance of God's faithfulness. In fact, just for a moment, think if God were not faithful. So important is the faithfulness of God that if God were not faithful, we would even hate to think what it would be like. To understand the faithfulness of God, when we talk about faithfulness, Moses tells us that God is a rock. It's a very wonderful word. It doesn't mean that God is a stone. What he's telling us is that God is like that Gibraltar that is always there. Dependable, unchangeable, trustworthy, true, truthful. All of these things are part of the faithfulness of God, without which, my friends, you and I would tremble if God were to ever change from whom the scripture declares him to be. God is faithful, and it's important because of two things this morning I have chosen. God is faithful because of his promises. It is important to understand the faithfulness of God because of his promises. Remember that someone who promises something can tell a lie. Or that person might be truthful, but is incapable of carrying out what he or she has promised. But we have been told that God is righteous, so that God will never lie. We are told that God is great, so we know that God never lacks what is necessary to carry out what he has promised. So then, we come to understand how important the faithfulness of God is because of his promises. In the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 20 to 22, God is beginning to share, if you please, with Noah, a new remade creation. Genesis 8 and 9 is the beginning of the beginnings. God is telling the sailor, but he was not really a sailor. God is telling Noah what he is going to do and what he will never do again. I want you to look for a moment in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Because I have read the text over and over again, and I had never seen it for myself until sitting down in preparation for this day. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 9, I'm sorry. Chapter 9. Perhaps I should begin in 8:21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself. The Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God made a promise to himself, not to the angels, not to any other creature in heaven, not to creatures out of space, if there are such beings. But he made a promise to himself. And I ask myself the question, why did God make a promise to himself? Now the promise is not, no, I think this is what I'm going to do. The word for promise is to declare something. God declared out of himself, through himself. Because, says Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20, there was no other greater, there is no other greater than God to whom God must make a promise. So he made it to himself. And the promise he made was that time and space would move in sequence as he has ordained it. History will go on as God actually predicts history is going to be. And he says, because I am faithful, seasons will not cease. Day will follow night. And nights will follow day. There will be seed time and harvest. And all creation, the very existence of creation, will actually depend upon my promise that I am making now. How do you feel, my friends, when there is a tremendous storm? The destruction in Florida not too long ago. In 1954, when this city experienced the destruction from the hurricane. When the rains came down and the waters came up, how did you feel? Did you feel somewhat that perhaps the end of the world is upon us? It can never happen because God made a promise that he will never destroy all by a flood again. So let the rains fall. Let the waters rise. We know that there will never be a flood that covers the whole earth again because God said he made a promise to himself, it will not happen. So that when we see things going on, things we cannot understand, when we experience things, my friends, that we wish there was some explanation for, we have to rely upon the dependability of the promise of God to himself that certain things will go on, but certain things we are certain will never happen again. Faithfulness of God is important because God has made promises. And we live by those promises. Those promises, my friends, are the things that give us hope. The promises of God is that which causes me to believe that there is a tomorrow and to believe that the tomorrow is going to be better. The promises of God is that which causes a person to die young and to believe that when they close their eyes here, they will open up in heaven because God has promised. Oh, it is important to believe in the promises of God because the promises of God are based upon the faithfulness of God. It is important, friends. All through the scriptures we're given promises to live by. All through the scriptures we're given hope. But that hope that we have as believers is based upon the promise of God who cannot lie. God cannot lie, as we shall see in a few moments. And so the importance of God's faithfulness is seen because God has made promises to you and he's made promises to himself. But the importance of God's faithfulness is seen in his person. Go to the New Testament quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I love this verse. It has been one of my bulwark for years and years and years. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And I'll read it to save time. 2 Timothy 2, 13. If we are faithless or unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we are unfaithful, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. My friends, the faithfulness of God depends upon the character of God. If it were possible for God to change his mind midstream, then you and I cannot celebrate the communion this morning. Because it would be possible for God to change his mind about the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. God would be denying himself. He would be contrary to his character if his faithfulness should cease. Psalm 89 says that the faithfulness of God reaches to all generation. If we could not tell our children and our grandchildren about a God upon whom we have depended all our lives and one upon whom they can depend, my friends, what future is there for our children and our grandchildren and our nation if God would be a God who changes his mind midstream? You may change your mind about people you know. People may change their minds about you as they know you. And if we would ever try, my friends, to understand the faithfulness of God by the faithfulness of people, we should be disappointed. Husbands will be disappointed in their wives, wives in their husbands, children in their parents, parents in their children. But my friends, we're not talking about husbands and wives this morning. We're not talking about children and parents. We are talking about God. God cannot be other than he is. He is the rock, the faithful rock, the God who meets us in our youth, in our infancy, is the God who meets us in our youth, is the God who meets us as we turn 50 and 60. And as I was at Parkview Home not too long ago, and I talked about the faithfulness of God to the people there, and I said, some of you have been walking with God for 30, 40, 50 years. And a faint voice from the back said, 80 years. 80 years. And one reason, my friends, I love to go to Parkview Home is this. When I go there, I see people decrepit, people in pain, people who somehow have lost some of the energy that they had before. But I hear older senior citizens who can speak about their continuing love for God because God has not failed them in their old age. The faithfulness of God, his person, who he is. So my friends, when I cannot trace God with my eyes, I trust God with my heart. The scripture tells me that God is love and he's faithful with his love. And when I cannot trace his love in the experiences of life, I trust him in my heart for his faithfulness because he cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. He cannot be other than he is. God is faithful. The person of God depends upon his faithfulness. If he should change, then he would be other than God. He couldn't be anything other than he is. He cannot deny himself. Secondly, look at the illustrations of faithfulness. The illustrations of faithfulness.
The first that I see, my friends, is the faithfulness in human, of God, the illustration of faithfulness in human calamities. Turn, if you please, with me to a book that we don't always turn to the book of Lamentation. If you didn't know there was such a book in the Bible, then turn to the index and you'll find it. That's not a put down. That's what we all had to do at one time. Lamentation, right after the book of Jeremiah. The book of Lamentation is precisely what the title suggests to us, lamenting. The prophet Jeremiah feels that he has been dealt a very negative blow from God. He is confused by the silence of God. He is confused by the sovereignty of God. He is confused by the shackles of God. Jeremiah feels, if you please, that God has set a hedge around him, not so much to protect him, but to confuse him. Listen as I read just a few portions of what he's saying. This is the prophet Jeremiah speaking. Listen as he speaks of God. Lamentations chapter 3. I am a man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He's speaking of God. Listen how often he uses the pronoun he. Verse 4. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. He goes on. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. He shut out my prayer, the silence of God. He has blocked my way with hewn stones. He has made my path crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways. He has made me desolate. Those are just some of the experiences of Jeremiah in Lamentation. My friends, he was facing calamity. If you please, in the words of James Dobson's book, when God does not make any sense at all. And he's hurting. He's feeling pain. He wishes that he could reach God in a tangible way and express to God how he feels. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit has reserved it for us in the text. Then look at what he does. Look at verse 21. This I recall to mind. What is it he's recalling to mind? In the midst of the silence of God, in the midst of the confusion because of his sovereignty, in the midst of the shackle, he recalls to mind and he has hope. What hope? That the loving kindness of God never ceases. The King James translation says, it is because of his mercies that we're not consumed, which is to imply, if God were not a faithful God, he wouldn't allow me to speak as I am speaking here. God is patient and he's long-suffering and he's kind. God is not capricious. He doesn't take advantage of those lesser than he is. He remembers. He remembers that God is merciful. He remembers God's promise way back there in Genesis chapter 8. His mercies are new every morning, every morning. God says mornings will not cease. And Jeremiah is saying, this is a new day, this is a morning. I have never lived this day before, and I'm breathing. Even though I feel this way about God, I am still breathing. The loving kindness of God, the mercies of God. And then he concludes the whole song, the mirth, by saying, God is faithful. Lamentations 3:23. Great is thy faithfulness. That word great, my friends, is not talking about amount as such. It's talking about God's greatness in terms of who God is. As God is everlasting, so is God's faithfulness. As God is infinite, so is God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness reaches to the heaven. God has not forgotten who He is. That is impossible. He cannot deny Himself. And Jeremiah is saying, even though the calamity is such right now, I want to tell you, I cannot explain what God is doing with His silence. I do not understand the sovereignty of God. I do not appreciate the shackles of God. But one thing I know, God is faithful. And my friends, some of you may have gone through and are going through difficulties right now. For some of you, the bottom might be falling out. For some of you, you would wish that, may I say it, that death would take you out of what you're going through right now. You wouldn't say that. There are times you wish that your faith made sense to you because you don't understand what God is doing. Remember, my friends, that you could not even think, as C.S. Lewis puts it, that he who argues against the existence of God argues against the very power that makes it possible for him to argue at all. If God, my friends, were a vindictive God, you and I could never deal one moment longer with our lack of understanding of the faithfulness of God. If God was a capricious God out to get whoever He could, we would only criticize Him once. Only once. But God is not that kind of a God. Jeremiah said, I don't understand, but I'm going to tell you, I rest my case in this. I look into the face of my adversities and I say, there are two things in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the silence. I have two words to say to my calamities, mercy and faithfulness. Look, if you please, very quickly at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And this is a meditation this morning, not so much an exposition for the communion. Psalm 62. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness or faithfulness is thine, O Lord. Let me trust in the faithfulness of God when I cannot understand, the actions of God. Very quickly, not only from human calamities do we see the illustration of God's faithfulness, but my friends, from human confession. A verse known to you and to me, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Listen, we could not come to the table this morning if we were not confident that when we fall on our faces before God and say, oh, Father, I have sinned against You. If you're not a Christian this morning, this is where it begins. It begins by confessing Jesus Christ as Savior. He can forgive all your sins, past, present, and future. But if you're a saint, that is, one who has already trusted in Christ, and you know that you have failed God, my friends, when you come to the table this morning, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to really cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we confess. Imagine if I were simply going through the motions this morning without really experiencing God's forgiveness. The table would make no sense to me at all. No sense to me at all. But when we confess, we can depend upon God. He is the rock who never changes. We can depend that when we confess, He forgives. The latest sin, my friends, where you are this morning, confess to Christ before we come to the table, is a forgiven sin. Is a forgiven sin. My time is gone. But let me tell you, my friends, what the text says. Faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. Faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. This is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend.